The mausoleum of Saginald has been destroyed. All status effects it enacted are now suspended. All slaves held in its thrall are now freed. More prompts also appeared and were auto-minimized by Richter's settings. He wouldn't have cared about any of them in that moment, though, even if he had known. Something vital, something that had been missing since he'd come through the portal, returned. He had full access to his magic once more, and there was a life he needed to save. The Chaos Seed wasted no time. Kneeling, he dual-cast Minor Slow Heal on Sion. It cost him nearly 200 MPs, and he almost lost control of the spell, but his will firmed, and he finished the incantation. Golden light surrounded the sprite as life energy poured into him. It would take 60 seconds for the over 250 points of health to be fully restored, but Sion's color and breathing began to improve immediately. Richter's throat clenched when he used Analyze and realized his friend had only had 20 health left when he'd finished his spell. Sion continued to bleed, and though dual-casting Weak Stabilize helped with that, it did not stop the debuff altogether. Richter already knew Alma had plenty of life left thanks to her status icon, but after casting his two spells, she still hadn't awoken. He picked up her small body and gently examined her while casting Weak Slow Heal, hoping it would wake her up. She remained limp in his hands. Her small breast rose and fell, but that was the only movement. A tear threatened to fall from his eye, and his heart ached, but he could not afford weakness. Not now. Richter turned back to Sion and was relieved to see that his friend had regained consciousness. That feeling was wiped away when he saw the stark fear in the sprite's face. Sion was looking straight up. The Chaos Seed had intentionally not been looking at the giant ball of death hanging above their heads because he knew he had to heal his friend. He couldn't have done that while running. Sion never would have made it to the portal otherwise. Since he couldn't stop the bolts of destructive magic from being fired, he just put it out of his head and focused on the issue at hand. That was when he realized something was different, though. For the past 10 seconds, there hadn't been any sounds of explosive bolts being fired from the sphere. In fact, the sounds of battle had diminished a great deal as well. With trepidation, Richter looked up. The originally slowly spinning sphere of eldritch magic had been 20 yards across. High above, it had seemed small. After the exile had disrupted the mana flow, it had grown more every second until it was more than 5 times as large. It had seemed like a malignant sun that was gradually swallowing the world. As it had grown larger, the flashes of magic on its surface had grown more violent and more vivid. The bolts of destructive power had also come more frequently. Now, though, it was beginning to shrink. No more beams of wild magic were being fired out of it, but the swaths of colors were more turbulent than ever. In the first few seconds, it lost what looked like 10% of its mass. As it continued to shrink, the battle of magics within it grew even brighter, and its surface shifted faster and faster. A few moments after that, the shifts were occurring so frequently that it seemed like it was flashing. Dread filled Richter's heart as he realized what was happening. Whether the exile had altered the flow of magic upon Sing's death or the globe of power had just reached critical mass, he didn't know. What he could see was that it was beginning to implode. He was no expert, but he only knew one thing that happened to explosive material after that. Looking at Sion, he bellowed, "Move!" He yanked the sprite to his feet, but whatever Sing's last spell had done to his friend had not been healed with Richter's second-tier magic. After the first step, Sion coughed up a cup's worth of blood over the front of his armor. On the second step, the sprite began to fall. Without missing a beat, Richter threw his arm under his friend, and they staggered over the ruined floor together. He cursed at not healing himself as well, but it would take precious seconds to cast either of his life-summoning spells. That was time he just didn't have. Instead of worrying about what couldn't be, Richter ran, Sion held in one arm and Alma cradled in the other. Her neck bounced limply as he ran, and the sprite continued to hobble and fall at his side. Above them, the globe continued to contract and draw together the opposing energies. Richter pulled Sion and sprinted as fast as he could, but it was nothing better than a shamble. At some point in the slow dash, the sprite's injuries proved to be too much for him. Sion became just dead weight on Richter's arms, slowing them down even more. His shoulder felt like it was slowly being torn from its socket. Gritting his teeth, he kept moving. Richter cursed himself for not casting weak haste on himself, but maybe it wouldn't have made a difference anyway. After all this, after everything he had been through, they couldn't die now. He couldn't let Sing's curse be the end of him. They had won. Against all odds, they had won. It couldn't end like this. That determination made him press on, even though he was sure they would not reach the portal in time. Even though he was sure the explosion would be cataclysmic. Even though there was nowhere for them to hide. That was when he saw it. Richter's eyes had fallen on the sarcophagus, the same one that had killed Calder. He couldn't stop himself from looking at the skeleton that lay sprawled beside the stone coffin. Calder's remains lay still now, though. The eldritch light was gone, and the remains no longer registered to his analyzed talent. He hoped the sergeant's soul had found peace, but another rumble in the ground reminded him that there was no time for sentimentality. His gaze snapped back to the crypt. Something was different about it, and it wasn't just the lack of eldritch light. He kept staring as he pulled Sion and Alma ever closer to the portal until his identify talent triggered. For the second time in a day, he saw the platinum-colored prompt of an artifact. You have found Sarcophagus of Saginald. Durability, 41,572 of 41,572. Item class, artifact. Quality, masterwork. Weight, 245 kilograms. Traits. This powerful artifact once held the body of the undead god Saginald. Any undead that dwells within this coffin will have their powers increased. How this will manifest can only be known in time. Richter didn't give a wet crap about the traits of the sarcophagus or who Saginald was. The high durability of the artifact was the sweetest thing he'd ever read, though. There was a chance. They had a chance. He just had to move faster. The sphere of magical energy continued to shrink in on itself and began to vibrate. The exile's vengeance was almost complete. Richter reached the coffin and carefully placed Alma inside. A strange keening filled the massive cavern, and he couldn't help but look up. The sphere was only 4 feet across now. The noise was being created by the disturbance of magics playing across its surface. Richter didn't know if he had 1 minute or 1 second left. But he knew there wasn't much time. He lay Sion inside the coffin as well. Richter prayed he wasn't willingly sealing the people he loved most inside of their own tomb. All that remained was the lid. It lay next to the artifact where Calder had pushed it to the side. The lid had grooves that lined up with the top of the sarcophagus to hold it in place. It took every ounce of his strength, but he managed to lift it and slide it on before climbing inside as well. Once he was in, he pushed against the top, struggling to move the heavy lid into position. With a final heave, it blocked out all the light of the outside world. Richter grabbed Alma's still limp form and cradled her to his chest. Trapped in darkness, with his familiar and first companion, Richter listened to the ragged sounds of his own breathing. His heart thudded in his chest, and he wondered if he'd been wrong about the sphere. Maybe it was just disappearing. Maybe it wouldn't actually explode. The world broke in half. To Richter, it sounded like the 9 hordes of hell had come screaming for his blood. To every other creature in the cavern, it was the end of everything. In a blink of an eye, their world devolved into jagged ice, scorching fire, burning light, and cursing dark. Debuffs of every type afflicted each undead and voidling a bare moment before they were wiped from existence. The Mauler was partially protected by the negation magic of the void, but even that was overcome, and it was sent howling into the abyss. Magic continued to play over its body, the power etching itself into the reptile's soul. The Devastator skeleton, voidlings, and remnants of the undead army lacked the Labyrinth boss's high level and resistance. They were utterly consumed. The blast flowed unhindered into the portal. At another angle, the gateway might have been destroyed, but instead, it was perfectly positioned to channel the explosion. Raw destruction flooded the first floor of the dungeon and obliterated every creature that it touched. The explosive power turned the marbled quartz walls of the barbican into rubble and blew the doors of the inner room inward. A fine powder filled the air, making it hard to breathe and see. Every single invader was destroyed, as well as two sprites that were killed by the collapse of the barbican's defense. The dungeon absorbed them all. It rose in levels once more and learned to create new monsters. For Richter, there was only heat, furious sound, and then the sensation of falling. The magical detonation stove the mausoleum inward. In the space of a second, the 300-foot building was crumpled like a beer can. The sarcophagus survived the blast, but tumbled through the air, spinning on three axes. It landed with a solid thud, and both companions were rendered senseless yet again. Richter came to only a minute later. He opened his eyes, completely confused. The absolute blackness was disorienting, but then his mind cleared enough to remember. The agony he was suffering was extremely helpful in that regard. It felt like he'd been dropped from a great height while hiding in a stone crypt. An image flashed through his mind of being buried alive under rubble. Pure animal panic bloomed in him as he suffered a terrible wave of claustrophobia. He reached up to the top of the coffin. His hands scrambled to open it, but it wouldn't budge an inch. Visceral panic threatened to strangle him before he forced himself to calm down. He was the Lord of the Mist, and he had more to do. The Chaos Seed took a deep, shuddering breath. Thinking was hard due to a concussion debuff, but after three tries, he managed to cast Weak Slow Heal on himself. Breathing and thinking became slightly easier after that. The flash of light that came with the magic also gave him an orientation, and he realized why he hadn't been able to open the coffin. It was lying on its side. When he had been pushing up, he'd really been pressing on the artifact's side. Taking a deep breath, he positioned his hand on the actual lid, praying this would work. His fear surged again when he tried to slide it up, and nothing happened. A second later, though, he was able to breathe a sigh of relief when it slid downward. The lid only moved enough to reveal half the opening, but it was more than enough. Richter climbed out and was greeted by darkness and silence. After having to tune out the sounds of battle for so long, the quiet was deafening. He put that out of his mind, along with the fading panic about being buried alive. He was still breathing. He could still move. And there was still work to be done. A moment later, he had accessed both Alma and Scion's status pages. Alma remained unconscious, but her stats were full. He contented himself with that. Scion was another matter. The sprite had lost another 128 health. More concerning was the fact that the sprite's bleeding status had worsened to 7 HP lost per second. Now that his head wasn't as cloudy, he tried healing Scion. After several more attempts, he was able to cast Minor Slow Heal and Weak Stabilize again. This time, he also cast his two life summonings, Summon Weak Life Wisp and Summon Weak Gold Fox. Both creatures phased into existence over the sarcophagus. Their glows lit up the area immediately outside of the coffin, and they began pouring healing energy into the companions. The wisp was only able to heal once, but it still increased Scion's health by 100 points. The gold fox fired beams of healing magic several times before it dissipated. In less than a minute, they were almost back to full health. Scion was still weak, but the life magic had roused him. Part of the sprite's health bar was grayed out, showing that there were internal injuries that still needed to be fixed, but he would need a better healer than Richter to do it. The Chaos Seed's weak and minor spells just weren't up to the task. Despite that, both of them were more hale than they'd been since the beginning of the battle. Seeing that Scion was stabilized, at least for the moment, Richter shook his head in wonder. God damn, it was good to have life magic again. For a second, he just stood in the blackness of the cavern and delighted in the fact that he was almost pain-free again. The ground they were standing on rumbled audibly, as if to remind him that they still weren't safe. Richter took the reminder in appreciation. They needed to get home. He just hoped the portal was still there. He'd already tried communicating with both Yoshi and Hisako, but there had been no response. He looked around him and found the portal in seconds. The fact that it was still open was the only good news. Richter cursed and began to cast far light as quickly as he could. Luminescent spheres shot from his hands in all directions. Some struck surfaces a few dozen yards away, but every single globe he shot above him disappeared. That could only mean one thing. The spell had a 100-yard range. If the lights connected with something inside that radius, they would adhere. If they didn't, though, they winked out of existence. It meant there was nothing above him. The explosion had completely destroyed the mausoleum. The lights that hit the ground revealed another desolate fact. The ground they were standing on was only a small island of stone. The blast hadn't just destroyed the core building. It had destroyed the very bedrock upon which the mausoleum had stood. His balls of light stuck to a few surfaces past the edge of the pillar they stood on, so theirs wasn't the only pillar, but for all intents and purposes, he was standing on an island in a sea of empty air. The four pillars he was able to see were sticking up out of the abyss like skyscrapers in an apocalyptic city. From what he could see so far, there was no path to safety. To make matters worse, the ground was shaking beneath their feet. It was only luck that had made the sarcophagus land on a pillar and kept it from falling all the way to the bottom of the chasm. The quakes beneath his feet proved their luck would run out soon, though. The only possible escape was the portal, but it had remained in the exact same spot in space where it had originally opened, a spot that was now several hundred feet above their heads. Sion stood up beside him, holding his ribs in pain. He followed his friend's gaze and cursed in sprite speak. "Tell me that's not the portal." The look in Richter's eyes was answer enough. Another much stronger quake shook the ground beneath their feet. Both men almost fell. Sion looked him in the eyes, and Richter could read the resignation in his friend's face. There was no way for them to reach the gateway. Even though they could see it, it might as well have been on another planet. They could both also track that it was growing smaller. Soon, they would be trapped in this plane of darkness until the pillar collapsed and plunged them to their deaths. The shaking grew more violent. Looking at his friend, at the man who had stood by him in war and peace, Richter knew what he had to do. In that moment, every ounce of fear and uncertainty drained away. All that was left in its place was calm acceptance. The Chaosi discovered that there was a freedom in accepting one's fate. He had just two preparations to make first. Richter forced a smile onto his face. "Don't worry, man. I've got a plan. I'll cloud run us up to the portal." "What are you talking about?" Sion responded, still looking up at the gateway. "It's almost 200 yards away. I watched you practicing back at the village. Every air jump you make takes more stamina, and I know for a fact that you never got more than 40 feet off the ground. You also nearly broke your neck when you fell. And that was without carrying armor or me." Sion shook his head. "I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I know we've gone as far as we can." "Now who's being the guilty?" Richter asked with a short laugh. "You might have a valid point, but when you saw me jumping before, I didn't have this." The Chaos Seed held up the last preparation he'd made before coming through the portal, a gold band with a single red gem. "You have found Bracelet of Home's Heart, durability 43 of 43, item class scarce, quality superb, weight 0.2 kilograms. Traits. The gems on this bracelet are actually two halves of a whole. Expertly cut, the jewel is a rare drop from a silver wyvern. The last drop of its blood crystallized to embody the speed and grace of this aerial predator. That magic has been preserved. The wearer of this bracelet may leave one of the gems in any location they choose. When the magic of the bracelet is activated, the wearer will gain the ability of flight and be pulled at the maximum flying speed of a silver wyvern to the location of the other jewel. This is a one-use item which will be destroyed afterwards. Before we left, I put one of the gems in the dungeon. If you wear the bracelet, It will pull you up, and I'll hold on. With it pulling us upward, I'll be able to make up the difference with cloud running. We can do this. I can't have anything on me, though. I need to focus on my jumps. You have to hold Alma, and you should take my bag of holding as well. I can't be encumbered. Sion looked at him, confused. Why would I have to... We don't have time for this, man. The portal is closing. What if the magic in the bracelet doesn't know the portal is the shortest way home? Sion shouted at him. What if it tries to fly us the long way around and we get slammed into a wall? Then we're totally fucked. Stop bringing shit up, Richter shouted back. The two friends glared at each other, tense and stressed, until they both started chuckling. With a soft grin, he put his hand on his friend's shoulder. This has to happen, man. Sion nodded his head and let out a long breath. Though he still looked uncertain, he took the bracelet. While he slipped it on his wrist, Richter reached back into the sarcophagus to get Alma. As the Chaos Seed looked at the artifact, his identification talent triggered again, and he realized just how close they had come to dying in the blast. Of the 40,000 points of durability the sarcophagus had originally, only 500 remained. In all honesty, the outside of the sarcophagus looked beat to hell. He glanced around quickly, hoping that Calder's bones might have survived the blast as well, but they were nowhere to be found. As he reached inside of the sarcophagus, he saw something else. For the first time, he was able to really see the interior with light shining on it. He immediately noticed that a circular patch of stone on the bottom was a slightly different color than the rest. As he continued to look at it, his Pierce the Veil skill activated, and it began to glow a soft, welcoming blue. Richter touched the spot, and something wondrous occurred. That portion of stone grew transparent, and a clockwork sphere leaking red and white light floated out of the hidden cubby. Know this, you have destroyed the mausoleum of Sagenald, and may now claim its core and item. You have found Magic Core. Durability, 15,000 of 15,000. Item class, Mythic. Quality, Masterwork. Weight, 12.7 kilograms. Traits, magical cores can be used to power any number of devices. Even knowing what was about to happen, a smile creased Richter's face. Every core building seemed to require three components: a basic version of the building, a powerful item, and a magic core. He realized now that the sarcophagus hadn't just been an artifact Sing had used. It had been one of the three components of the mausoleum. Looking at the mythic item in his hands, he sighed. The sound was filled with both happiness and sadness. Whatever came next, his village would grow stronger. The core went into his bag of holding, and he gently picked up Alma. As he walked back to Sion, he looked at his beautiful familiar. He sent a prayer to any being that might be listening that she would wake soon. The ground continued to shake, and off in the darkness he heard another pillar collapse and fall away. The quakes under his own feet did not dissipate this time. Looking high above, he saw that the portal was now less than 10 feet across. There was no more time to waste. He hurried over to Sion and handed Alma to him. The sprite carefully cradled the dragonling as Richter slipped his bag of holding over his friend's head. Are you ready? Richter asked, putting his arms around his friend. Yes, but I still don't know why you're not wearing the bracelet and I'm not holding onto you. Richter looked back at him with an unreadable expression before softly saying, Let's do this, man. It's time to go home. Still confused, Sion did what his friend asked. He activated the bracelet of Home's Heart, but a red prompt appeared. The bracelet of Home's Heart cannot be used with two people relying on its flight magic. Remove the second person, and the magic will activate. The sprite's eyes widened in panic. What were they going to do? Sion started to speak, but looking at his friend's calm but sad expression, he finally read the truth in Richter's eyes. The Chaos Seed already knew. He had just needed to touch Sion and have him trigger the magic before he did what came next. Richter chose yes on a black and gold prompt in his vision, and another window appeared in Sion's. Richter of the Mist Village has made you his heir. Upon his final death, all mastery and items he owns will become yours. Sion looked at his best friend in all the world and shouted, "What are you doing?" Richter looked back with a faint smile. As he let go of his grip on both Sion and this life, he said, "I'm saving the fucking day, brother. That's what we do." As soon as he let go, the bracelet's magic activated. Sion only had time to reach his one free arm out in a vain attempt to grab Richter before he shot up through the air. The sprite screamed, "No!" His eyes locked on his friend until he rose too high and Richter was swallowed by the blackness. After that, the sprite was left with only the image of his brother's resigned smile. Sion and Alma flew through the shrinking portal and arrived back in the dungeon. The blast of magic had destroyed almost every red stone pillar and had turned the floor of the barrow to scorched earth. He flew through the ruins of the barrow, hurtling towards the egg room and the small red gem Richter had hidden within it. Just before stopping, his speed slowed to a gentle float with no negative effects, and he alighted on the ground as softly as a feather. The devastation around him did not matter to Sion at all. He just started running, faster than his wounded body could handle, as soon as his feet touched down. He had to get back to the portal. With Alma cradled in his arms, he ran back towards the shrinking gateway. His eyes were still locked on it when it shut forever, without a trace. Sion stared at the empty air in disbelief. Blinking, he softly said, "No," before falling to his knees and screaming to the heavens, "No!" Richter had watched his friend and familiar fly to safety with a calm joy. His village would continue. His friend would live, and he knew in his heart that Alma would fly again. As the portal winked out of existence, the ground continued to rumble under his feet. It only grew in strength as the entire tower prepared to drop into the abyss. Chapter 108, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC. Richter would have stood in that one spot with the darkness only lit by the few spheres of far light that had stuck to the ground, but then he heard a familiar roar. His head swiveled to the side in disbelief. It couldn't be. It was the work of a moment to weave his hand in the spell form required to cast night vision. His vision became an overlay of greens and blacks. The small white spell balls burned in his vision, but they also let him see as easily across the immense cavern as if he was outside at noon. He had to search for a few seconds, but then he saw it. The mauler was clinging to the side of a nearby pillar of stone. It was driving its hardened talons into rock and had almost climbed to the top. One of its legs was missing below the knee, but its regen capability ensured that almost no blood was leaking out. At first, Richter didn't know how to feel, so he just studied it with clinical detachment. It looked different than before. The matte black of the void was gone, but there was still something weird about it that he just couldn't place. Analyze filled in a lot of the blanks. Name: Hellspawned Mauler. Disposition: Soul Malice. Mortal Enemy. The raw magic released by the exile Rakshasa has changed the Tovut Mauler into a hellish creature. No monster such as this has ever walked the land. No longer able to draw on the high ambient magic of the labyrinth, such a creature cannot survive long away from a hellscape. It must feed on the souls of other beings, or it will be sucked back into an appropriate dimension. This creature is your mortal enemy and hates you above all else. Level: unknown. Health: 714 of 6,981. Mana: 192 of 192. Stamina: 388 of 2,377. Strength: unknown. Agility: unknown. Dexterity: unknown. Constitution: unknown. Endurance: unknown. Intelligence: unknown. Wisdom: unknown. Charisma: unknown. Luck: unknown. He still couldn't read most of its stats, but he knew enough. The fucking thing was on its last legs. It was some sort of hell beast now, but as he gripped the hilt of black ice, he realized he had a demon of his own. It also didn't look like the Mauler had seen him yet, so surprise was on his side. In that moment, Richter realized what he was feeling, and it wasn't just the bulge in his pants. He would get to kill this thing before the end. A broad and sadistic smile grew on Richter's face as the ground continued to shake under his feet. Excitement and a sense of purpose bloomed in his heart. If he was going to fall into darkness, he was going out Gandalf style. Backing up as much as he could, he sprinted forward. With a last powerful surge, he sailed off the edge of his pillar. It took 3 air jumps, but he made it to the top of the Mauler's column. After dismissing his night vision, he cast dark vision. Then he silently drew black ice and waited. Only a minute later, he heard the Mauler drive its talons into the stone just beneath the lip of the drop-off. A moment after that, it threw one hand over the top. That was what Richter had been waiting for. He looked over the side and got to see what shock looked like on his mortal enemy's face. With a broad grin, Richter yelled, "Did I ever tell you about the Native American orgy?" The Mauler quickly recovered from its surprise and began to roar in furious response. The Chaos Seed didn't give it any more time than that. He just swung his named blade and shouted at the same time, "It was fucking intense!" The powerful weapon cut straight through the Mauler's fingers. 2 of the talons remained embedded in the pillar's top. Blood shot out of the stumps, and the former Labyrinth boss pulled its arm back in agonized reflex. That motion made its other hand rip free from the column's side as well. It began to topple back into space, only supported by the talons on its remaining leg that were driven into the stone. It strained to keep its legs straight, to grab hold of the pillar once more, but Richter didn't give it a chance to save itself. He could have watched it struggle. He could have stayed on the shaking pillar. He could have gained himself a few more precious minutes of safety by remaining atop the column of stone. But that was not who he was. When he had chosen to come to the land, he had been offered a life of adventure and danger, love and betrayal, power and wonder. Here, at the end of all things, he couldn't say that he hadn't had it all. In that moment, he accepted the truth. The true balm of his heart had never been peace. It had always been the chaos of conflict. That was why, in accordance to his truest self, he chose to fall. As his Mauler tipped back into the abyss, Richter jumped onto its body with his blade held high. His former blood slave craned its neck to look up at him with a hate-filled eye, and the Chaos Seed grinned back in response. With a mad cackle, he plunged black ice through the plate-sized orb until his hand was buried in eye fluid. His blade had sought the Mauler's brain once before and failed, but this time it flew true. Black ice penetrated the monster's gray matter and released its shatter effect. Its brain was turned to slurry, and pieces of its skull shot out of the back of its head. At long last, his mortal enemy's health fell to 0. Its body grew limp. Its leg came free of the pillar. A prompt appeared in Richter's vision, but he minimized it without reading. This was not a moment to be distracted. As the abyss finally claimed him, he laughed out loud in wild celebration. He laughed in remembrance of a life well lived, of strange love, random shoes, and riding the wave all the way to the end. He laughed because he had lived every moment to the fullest, and most importantly, he'd done it his way. With one hand thrown high into the air, he rode the body of his vanquished foe into oblivion, all the while shouting, Chapter 109, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0 AOC. Everything hurt. His neck hurt, his body hurt, his teeth hurt. How the fuck did his teeth hurt? Richter thought about it, but couldn't come up with a good reason. He remembered the fall, seeing the ground rushing up at him at an impossible speed, a wet sort of crunch, and then nothing. Richter groaned, a wave of pain coursing through his body. He had been pretty sure that becoming a mindless shade or whatever the curse was going to do to him would suck, but he hadn't expected his damn teeth to hurt. Was this why undead were such assholes all the time? He shook his head and sighed heavily. That was when it connected. He still wasn't exactly sure what a shade was, but he was pretty sure he wouldn't be sighing and breathing heavily if he was one. His mind began to clear, and he realized his recent thoughts were the equivalent of mindless babble. He also realized that against all odds, he wasn't dead. He was just beat all to hell. How he was alive, he had no idea, but pain and all, he'd take it. Richter slowly became more aware of his body. Absently, he thought about how it just couldn't be good for him to get knocked out like 4 times in an hour. He shifted slightly and a fresh wave of agony swept through him. Lying still again, he waited for it to pass. He also realized that one of his initial thoughts had been spot on. Everything hurt! He swallowed hard, his throat dry as sand. Without thinking about it, he reached for his bag of holding to get a water skin. His hand only found what felt like his own torn clothes. His brow wrinkled in confusion. Where was his armor? Had he been teleported or something? His dark vision spell had elapsed, so at least 20 minutes had passed, but he had no other frame of reference. One thing he knew was that he was tired of not having answers. He was also tired of feeling like a taint in a garbage disposal, so he cast Minor Slow Heal. The healing energy flooded his body and took away the worst of the pain. The flash of magical light also showed that he was in a small white dome with no exit. It wasn't large enough for him to stand up in, and he could see cracks running through it. Casting simple light let him look around more thoroughly, but didn't reveal anything else. With nothing else to go on, he accessed his prompts. He'd gained an insane amount of notifications during the battle, but he started at the end. The words on that single notification both solved the mystery and let him know how he was still alive. Know this, using the scales of a unique creature gave a powerful bonus to your armor called Shell. This unique property activated at the moment of your imminent death. In the case of impending catastrophic damage, the shell material bonus of your Skeeling armor transformed your armor into a dome with a defense equal to your armor's durability. Activating the shell bonus has destroyed your armor. The shell will only last for 1 hour, but you can destroy sections of it beforehand. Be careful while you do so, as breaking one section may compromise the entire shell. So that's what shell meant, Richter thought. When he'd examined the Skeeling armor, he'd assumed it was something powerful, seeing as how it came from a unique creature, but he hadn't expected his armor to turn into a mini fort. The fact that he was now left without any defenses wasn't the best, but then again, if the dome hadn't deployed, he'd be a mindless shade, so he really wasn't complaining. His heart thrilled as he realized what all this meant. He'd been given a second chance. He just had to survive 7 days. If he did that, even if he was killed right after, he had a chance of respawning back in his village. That also assumed that he had another life to spend. But he'd just killed a level 92 hellbeast and survived a fall to the bottom of the world. He could do anything. When he'd seen Sion disappear, Richter had already accepted the fact that he was going to die. It had seemed like a fair trade for saving his friends and his village. Now, though, after surrendering himself to the jaws of death, death had spit him back out. True, he was buried who the hell knew how far underground, he didn't have any armor, and black ice was nowhere to be found, but he was alive. Richter grinned fiercely. He planned to stay that way. He looked around the shell dome. It was time to get back to work. The Chaos Seed placed a hand on top of the dome and wondered how he was supposed to break out. To his surprise, the entire dome turned translucent at his touch. What he saw made him curse. The dome was also completely buried under rubble. His claustrophobia began to surge again, but he forced himself to be calm. The prompt had said the shell would only last an hour. All he knew for sure was that 20 minutes of that was already gone. He had to work this problem, and he had to work it now. Richter began to go over every inch of the dome. It took 10 minutes, but he finally found a reason for hope, though not much of one. Near the ground, there was one spot that was not covered in rock. It was only 3 feet across and 1.5 feet high, but it extended outward. It was a narrow tunnel. He had no idea where it led, but he did know it was his only chance. Richter placed his hand on the dome and willed that one spot, and only that spot, to break. The section of the dome in front of the tunnel began to crumble. A few seconds later, there was a small hole in the dome. The air rushing in through the opening was dry and had a strange smell, something that was familiar, but that he couldn't place. Richter's hand wove in a spell form and he cast far light. A ball of white luminescence shot down the tunnel, and he breathed a heavy sigh of relief. It struck a wall after 50 or so yards, and he could see that the opening in the rock led to a larger chamber. Looking around the small dome a final time, he didn't see anything else of use, so he started crawling. If his dislike of confined spaces had surged in the dome, it supernovaed in the tunnel. His already torn clothes snagged and ripped on the rock. Each inch forward made pebbles and dust fall from the unstable ceiling. The tunnel grew narrower and began to squeeze his shoulders. Richter's breath came heavier and faster as panic filled his mind and heart. At some point, he began scrambling forward like an animal in a trap, convinced he would be crushed at any moment. When he finally emerged into the next chamber, he still struggled forward another foot before he realized that his head had cleared the tunnel. Once he was fully out, he just lay back against a wall of solid stone, his breath coming in deep gasps. The solidity and firmness of the rock wall helped him focus and calm down. A minute later, he felt up to taking stock of his surroundings. He was in a small cave made of light brown stone. The walls were pockmarked and rough. There was barely enough room to stand up, and the only two exits were another tunnel that led downward at a steep angle and the way back. Richter stared bleakly at the dark opening, but he knew he couldn't wait long. If he let himself start thinking about the weight of all the rock above him, about being buried alive or being crushed, then he'd never have the nerve to leave. If he had still had access to food and water, he might have just stayed in that small cave for 7 days until the curse faded away. After that, he'd have happily rolled the dice on being reborn if it meant that he didn't have to keep squeezing through corridors that had never been meant to accommodate men. He couldn't wait here, though. It was a death sentence, and it would be his final death. After healing his small scrapes and bruises, he cast far light down the new tunnel and started crawling again. This time, the passageway was sinuous, and he could never see more than 5 yards in front of him. After each turn, he thought about how if this tunnel led nowhere, not only would he be out of options, but he might be stuck, unable to back up. Fear threatened to overwhelm him, but he pushed it down and kept crawling. One hand went forward, the other followed it, and with a heave, he pulled his body along. Left hand, right hand, heave. Left hand, right hand, heave. It became his mantra as he crawled through the bowels of the land. All the while, the tunnel angled deeper. Every inch forward was an inch further from home. He continually pushed that thought away and focused on the one thing he could control. Left hand, right hand, heave! It wasn't long before he realized that familiar smell was getting stronger. It was like rotten garbage and ammonia. He still couldn't place it, but he knew he'd smelled it before. He kept going. Richter wasn't sure if hours or just minutes had passed, but finally, at long last, the tunnel began to widen. Even better, the ball of far light did not strike a nearby wall. It shot forward 100 yards before dissipating. He'd found a larger cavern. At this point, his throat felt like sandpaper. He needed water, and he needed food. He would have needed a bathroom, but that particular problem had solved itself halfway through the tunnel. The solution hadn't helped his mood or the smell. Still, he felt nothing but pure joy as he scrambled to the end of the passage. There was a short drop, but he managed it easily. The smell was much stronger now. That was when he heard it. A skittering sound, like 100 sharp legs on rock. That sound and the image it conjured made him remember. One summer he had visited his aunt in the country. The very first night, he'd stomped on a centipede as it ran across the floor. The dead insect's body had filled the room with a horrible scent, a smell like rotting garbage and ammonia. In a panic, Richter cast night vision and began casting far light in every direction. The first thing he saw were bones of all sizes strewn across the cavern floor. Then he saw what was making the noise. A centipede was flowing towards him, but it was no mere bug. Its body was a foot in diameter, and it was at least 30 feet long. Its carapace shone black in the light of his spells, and its eyes glowed in his night vision. When it saw him look right at it, the giant bug bared a mouth full of needle-sharp teeth at him. Large pincers framed its face, and drops of saliva dripped down to hiss against the rock. Through a doorway at the back of the cavern, he saw more glowing eyes looking at him. It continued to flow towards him, and he used Analyze. Name, Icorpede. Disposition, Ravenous Hate. Icorpedes are large insects that hunt in packs. Their acidic spit dissolves the internal organs of their victims. They then drink their prey using their needle-like teeth. Special attack, acidic spit. Can spit a caustic substance short distances. Level 31. Health 1,322 of 1,322. Mana 14. Stamina 857 of 857. Strength 35. Agility 38. Dexterity 39. Constitution 132. Endurance 85. Intelligence 1. Wisdom 3. Luck 10. Richter cursed. He was in a lair. Not only that, he'd finally found out where the high-level monsters were hiding. The Icorpede skittered towards him faster now, clacking its pincers together in anticipation. It was only 50 yards away. The Chaos Seed ran to the left and grabbed the only weapon available, a gnawed leg bone. He had no idea what kind of creature had left it behind, but it was as big as a Louisville slugger. Part of him realized that this bone was only here because the Icorpedes had been able to bring down such a large beast. A bigger part of him told that part to shut the fuck up! It was game time! As the giant insect closed the distance, Richter began to prepare. Minor chitin carapace thickened his skin and increased his natural armor by +3. Weak haste boosted his speed, and weak mirror image made 2 copies of himself. He summoned a saproling and spider, evolving them both into stronger versions. With the Icorpede only 10 yards away, he dismissed his night vision, then cast grease and weak flame in quick succession. The entire circle of brown gravy sludge lit up, enveloping the giant insect in fire. It reared back with a hiss of rage, its head towering 5 feet above him. Richter was raising his makeshift bone club to strike when he heard a voice that made his mouth drop open in shock. Floating out of the darkness came a small winged creature only a single foot in height. His body was ash gray, and black bat wings flapped behind him. The expression on his face was both bored and annoyed. When Zetrix spoke again, his tone was a perfect match.
I said stop playing with those bugs, human. You made me a vow, and I'm here to collect.
Epilogue. Grimalt, the bugbear commander, backhanded one of his torturers.
You let 3 of the 4 kindred die, he growled, and you are still no closer to an answer.
Fierrant cringed back. The torturer was covered in the blood of his victims, but he was still cowed by Grimalt's fury. The commander was not known for his patience. The officer was known for ripping out the throats of his subordinates when displeased. It did not help that the commander was being pressured by his own superiors for answers. For some time, the leaders of the allied armies had thought there might be a hostile settlement within the Mist. Despite that, it had mostly been ignored. Whatever was within the Mists seemed to leave the Alliance alone. There were also more than enough known enemies that had to be defeated. When the Alliance leadership factored in that an entire company of bugbears tasked to the region had disappeared, including the drow sorceress Modara, it was decided that valuable resources could not be devoted to a distant section of the forest. The Forest of Nadria covered over 600,000 square miles. A patch of mist at the northern tip simply did not merit intense scrutiny or attention. The sprites of the Hearth Tree had proved to be especially bothersome, and the defenses of their settlement were too strong for the current forces of the Basilisk Alliance to overcome. They were not even the only enemies the forest had to offer. Wood elves, high elves, gnomes, and various beastkin tribes had been battling the Alliance forces for months. With all of that to worry about, searching the mists had always been a low priority, especially when nearly every scout that entered them had never returned. That was why it rankled Grimalt so much that he had been tasked to monitor the mists. Monitor! Not advance on, not conquer, not even reconnoiter, just simply monitor. The shame and anger of such a posting had been twisting in the commander's heart into something truly ugly. The dead bodies of his subordinates could attest to that. He simply hated being relegated to such an unimportant and forgotten part of the war. His feelings had changed 10 days ago. That was when adventurers in the Bugbear army had received a notification that a new dungeon had been born. Immediately afterward, a brilliant beam of scarlet energy had shot into the air. To Grimalt's delight, it had come from the heart of the mists. The emergence of a dungeon changed everything. The eyes of the entire Basilisk Alliance had turned hungrily north, and troops had been rerouted to this section of the forest. What had originally been a shit posting for the commander now offered him the chance to rise within the coalition's ranks. That was why Grimalt was so furious. It was only luck that had let his patrol see the Kinder exiting the mists. As small as the creatures were, they had still managed to wipe out an entire 5 bugbear strike squad before they had been captured. And now, his incompetent torturers had killed 3/4 of his prisoners without learning their secrets. If he didn't get answers soon, some other commander might take control of his posting and Grimalt would once again lose his chance for blood and glory. Fearalt was right to be afraid, for the smaller bugbear was about to die. Before the commander could unleash his anger, though, they both heard something that changed everything. It was a very distinctive shriek coming out of the torture tent behind them. Any man or woman would scream in pain when their toes were bitten off one at a time, especially if you gnawed on the bone for a bit before tearing the digit free. That was the sound of agony. To Fearaught, screams of pleading, rage, or fear were as distinct as different styles of music. The torturer had often considered himself a musician of sorts, creating songs of pain. What Fearaught heard now was different. It was the unique wail of a prisoner's will being broken. The howling screams always had a confused component to them. It was because the victims did not know if they were more afraid of their captor or more disgusted with themselves. For torturers, there was no sweeter sound. After decades of presiding over torture tents, the bugbear commander had come to recognize the sound as well. Grimalt held up a hand, and Fearaught breathed a sigh of relief. A moment later, both bugbears walked into the tent. The commander gestured. One of the other bugbear torturers removed the glowing hot blade he had pressed to a kinder woman's chest. The skin stretched between the burning metal and her breasts like taffy. The half-melted flesh grew thinner until it snapped, and 2 strands of ruined skin were left hanging. A nipple fell to the ground. The entire tent smelled of blood, sweat, and bodily waste. The bugbear leader drew in a satisfied breath before pulling a water skin from his bag. The commander lifted the kinder's small head almost gently before letting some water fall into her mouth. The small woman coughed and sputtered, the liquid almost feeling like acid on her throat. Her vocal cords were raw and red after a full day of screaming. Then Grimalt growled a simple question in common, the ubiquitous language of the land. He enjoyed the involuntary shiver his deep voice triggered in the pale, bloodied woman.
What do you want to tell me?
The kinder's only remaining eye made contact with the commander's before her head fell in shame and pain. She began to weep, tears somehow flowing even from her empty right eye socket as well, but her words were still clear.
It is a potion.
Thank you so much for listening. Please let the world know what you thought of the book by leaving a review on Audible. And as always, peace, love, and the perfect margarita. For more fun information and to contact the author, please go to www.litrpg.com. That is www.litrpg.com.
Ah, are you still here? What? Are you expecting some kind of spoiler or Easter egg? Do I look like some comic book hero? Like that cat fella with the claws or the one with the shield? Or that one with the red spandex? Yeah, I actually like that one. He's filthy. Bagach, no! I didn't care how they do it. You'll have to wait, like everyone else. What? But I just told them. I didn't want it. Ah, fine woman. Things I do for a living. Damn feisty sprite. Like I was going to say anyway, you should join Alaron on Facebook to win free stuff like shirts and books and other loot. You can just type his name into Alta Vista. And if you like the book, you should leave a review and tell your friends. When you're wondering what to do in life, just remember, WWKD. What would Crumb do? Answer, pretty much anything with two legs. Arrgh! You damn feisty sprite!
This has been The Land, Predators, written by Alaron Kong, M.D., the father of American Lit RPG, narrated by Nick Podell. Copyright 2017 by Alaron Kong. Production copyright 2018 by Alaron Kong.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.